When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Welcome back, everybody, to Caravan of Garbage, where this week
we're going into the future, the year 2005.
Whoa, that's the year after iRobot came out.
Right? What kind of robots do you think it would be in this thing we're going to talk about?
Boxes. Yeah, like boxes that change into cars and stuff.
Yeah. Boxes that change into other boxes.
For those people who don't know, Transformers the movie from 1986 is actually set in the year 2005. Mm. Please leave a like for that incredible fact. Expect more, by the way.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. We got facts out the wazoo. Out the robot wazoo.
That's right. A big boxy caboose.
Mm.
Yeah. Trunk, I guess. Cars.
Mm.
What countries don't call trunks?
Australia. We say the boot.
We say the boot. You're right. We should do a bit
of... Which is the thing that locks down a car in a lot of other countries, you know? And the parking inspectors put the boot on it.
My goodness.
Can you imagine such a thing?
My
car's got a boot on it. Yeah, so is mine, mate. That's what we'd say in Australia.
That's, you know, great.
Yeah, it's good, isn't it? This is all going out. This will only be the audio version.
Some of this will stay, I feel.
Yeah, great.
I don't know how much.
Yeah.
Depends on the length of the video.
If we don't have a lot to say about Transformers the movie, the video will just be us talking about the boot.
If this is 12 minutes long, this is in it.
We also call the hood the bonnet.
That's true. Mm. Yeah. Anyways, I think this needs a little bit of...
More car facts. This is car facts.
It's car facts now, yeah. Anyways, I think this needs a little bit of background in terms of this movie, because some people might be older or younger than us and not know.
Disagree. They might be older or younger than us and not know they're older and younger than us.
Sure.
That's what you're saying?
That's okay. Possible too,
okay,
yeah.
Right.
Depending on head injuries.
Oh, that's true.
Amnesia.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. Too much exposure to TikTok.
Exactly.
You might think you're a TikTok teen, but you're in your 40s.
Yeah. Yeah. Gross. Anyways, so... The Transformers was created as an animated series.
Go on, yes.
In 1984 to sell a bunch of toys that they'd repurposed from a Japanese robot line.
Yes, there were two lines of Japanese toys. They were called Diaclone and Microchange.
Mm-hmm.
One was big and one was little, and they were like...
One turned into a gun.
Yeah, one did turn into a gun. That is, can't do that these days.
No.
In this culture. They'd have to turn into... Equality.
I think that's great.
I think that's great too. I would love a robot that turns into equality. But anyway, American company Hasbro purchased the rights to sell these in America, and they decided to combine the two toy lines into one line.
Yeah.
But they were like, how are we going to advertise these toys? But luckily, our old pal Ronnie Reagan decided to completely deregulate advertising to children. So instead of...
And a bunch of other stuff.
All right, a lot of other stuff. But the one we love is how he deregulated advertising to children. So instead of like a 30-second ad spot where you're like, hey, maybe your kids would like these toys, you could just do a 30-minute animated advertisement and just be like, you are these toys. You've got to get them or your psyche will be destroyed forever.
And then the show would cut to a commercial of the toys.
Yeah, true, yeah.
Get some of these toys.
Yeah, what should we do in between the advertising for this toy? How about some advertisements for the toy?
I showed my son a few of the original episodes because I actually watched them going into this. There's like a three-parter that's like an origin that kicks everything off. First of all, I kind of, like prior to this, I'm like, that show probably kind of sucks and whatever. Mm-hmm. For what it is, it's okay.
Yes.
They put some effort into the lore and the animation and the voice acting.
Voice
acting is incredible.
Terrific.
So Peter Cullen, who still voices Optimus Prime a lot of the time, he's incredible. Frank Welker, who's Megatron, does most of the Decepticons. Mm. If you don't know him, you absolutely know him. You've heard him in something.
If you've seen any cartoon ever, he's been in it.
That's right. It's kind of amazing, but... So the original, the commercials. So they are commercials.
Yes.
But the show from the 80s, every now and then, every 5 to 8 minutes, it cuts to black where a commercial break would be. And my son's watching it and he's like, what is this?
Right.
Why does it stop? And then it comes back and they briefly recap a thing that just happened. Mm. And then the show continues.
Yeah.
So I had to explain the concept of how Reagan deregulated everything.
Of course, yeah.
But I think also...
And then you both saluted your portrait of Ronnie Reagan.
That's right. So the thing about that show is as well, it's mostly harmless in terms of the damage that they inflict on each other in the world of Transformers.
There's a lot of shooting over each other's heads.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. Until...
Oh, until Transformers the movie, a movie that I saw when I was 5.
So what they decided to do, they wanted to go big with this. Mm. They were 2 seasons in.
Yeah.
And they went, let's jump 20 years in the future.
Oh, my God, the year 2005. What's life going to be like?
Oh, my God. iRobot just came out.
Everybody's going to be driving a hot rod with it's pink and it's got fire on the sides and big exhaust stacks.
And the idea of this movie was to kill, I would say, 80% of the original Transformers, including the main guys.
And then there's just a director's note that's like, but can we have some of those dead guys just appear in later scenes due to animation errors? Sure, absolutely.
Yeah.
If that's what you want, we can definitely do that.
So here's a list of some, but maybe not all, that die in this. So Ben and Lawrence, if you could just, put a little montage to
in
this,
memoriam?
I guess.
Sure, yeah. Absolutely.
We've got Optimus Prime, Ironhide, Ratchet, Prowl, Brawl, Wheeljack, Windcharger, Megatron, who obviously comes back, Starscream, Skywarp, Thundercracker, Shrapnel, Kickback, and Bombshell. The third season, which came after this, though, revealed that Huffer also died off-camera at some point during the movie.
Now, Too much huffering of paint.
Yeah, that's right. Now, I say that because my son knew that Optimus Prime died because it's kind of a thing he does now. In every continuity,
of course.
He takes an opportunity, a moment to die for a bit and come
heroic
back.
Heroic sacrifice. Somebody, yeah. If he's not going to be Autobot Jesus, who's going to be? Wahlberg.
That's right. It got to the point where a scene would end or a character would go off screen or fly into Unicron or just turn a corner and he'd go to me, is he dead? And I'm like, well, you know what? He might be.
Right.
I don't know.
Uh-huh, sure.
Yeah. He loved it, by the way.
Okay, that's great. Okay. He was not put off by the animation, as it is.
No, I think...
Because let me tell you, James.
Yeah.
I saw this as a kid, obviously. Mm. I got it on VHS when it first came onto that still very relevant format.
Sure.
But I haven't seen it as an adult for many, many years. And I went back... But I remember thinking the movie is a cut above the animation of the TV series.
And
going back into it, it is, but not all the time.
No, I agree with that.
Some of the scenes, the animation is quite good. It has even an anime-style quality. It's kind of, there's a lot of detail. The animation is quite fluid. There's the scenes when Autobot City is transforming and the scene when Unicron is transforming from planet to robot and, some close-ups and there's sort of hero shots where you see, the characters... making
dying.
Dying mostly or impassioned speeches or the scene where Unicron is consuming a planet and it's all the pieces are flying off it. But a lot of the minute-to-minute animation is really not a lot better than the TV series.
I don't disagree with that. And I think also because when you're animating something like this, it's way more complicated than just say a person. Because a person has curved lines and maybe a t-shirt or some clothing and whatever.
Oh, you're taking my language, brother. Ooh, a few curved lines, some clothing.
I'm talking just arms. And the face is...
Yeah, I hear you, brother.
And the face is just a blank canvas with a few things thrown on. But here, because everything is boxy and shaped a certain way and they have to shift perspectives and transform, that's very difficult to do in 2D.
Mm.
Or very time-consuming and difficult. So I think, when you get shots like that iconic one of Optimus leaping in the air and doing a twist.
Yeah, and he's flipping in the air and he's shooting all the Decepticons. Yeah. Oh my goodness.
That's good stuff, man. But no, I don't disagree in terms of it's not Akira. No. I guess would be
yes.
If I was to pick like a movie which has got some of the most iconic animation of all time and compare it to Transformers, I would say that other one is better than this.
They are of roughly the same era though, so yes, you know.
That is true. Now Unicron Mason.
Oh yes.
Voiced famously by Orson Welles.
That's correct, yes.
This was his final role. He died 5 days after recording. Oh. I guess just in the spirit of the movie, where everybody kept
this
dying.
This one's for Ronald Reagan, he said. My mission's complete, and then he died.
Yeah. Were you traumatized by the death of Optimus Prime? It's a great fight, by the way.
No, my sister was.
Yeah.
Here's the thing also. Depending on the version you watch, at the end of the movie, a little voiceover comes in and it says Optimus Prime will return.
Yeah.
Apparently they added that in some cuts because children were too upset. My version did not have that.
No.
As far as I was concerned, he was dead for good.
At the end.
And I'm glad.
Yeah. Optimus Prime will not be returning. Mm. Please purchase Rodimus Prime.
That's right. Or he'll be next.
Yeah, dry your eyes and purchase Rodimus Prime. But the reason though that happened, this is quite a famous story, I guess you could say. So they were also working on a G.I. Joe movie as well at the same time, which from what I remember is fine. I'm not really a G.I. Joe guy. I think you were more, I don't know.
I have seen it and it is fine.
Anyway, so Duke in that.
That's our G.I. Joe episode, folks.
No, we've done G.I. Joe episodes.
Ah, forget it then.
Yeah. Oh, actually, we've got a Snake Eyes episode coming up as
That's
well.
That's true.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. So the idea in that was to kill Duke. So the people behind this went, well, we'll kill Optimus then also.
Oh, yeah.
But then this ended up coming out before the G.I. Joe movie. So they changed the G.I. Joe movie to be like, oh, no, he's fine.
Yeah, yeah.
He came out of his coma and he's fine. So it just ended up being Optimus Prime dying and Duke getting speared with a snake but then being okay.
That's right.
Yeah. Now, I have thoughts, Mason.
Go on.
About the whole Hot Rod / Rodimus Prime situation.
Is your question, do you think that Rodimus Prime sometimes is awake at night and he goes, geez, this is actually kind of a downgrade if I'm honest.
The look?
I was the coolest car in the universe.
Yeah.
Now I'm like a weird family camper van, but I got flames down the sides. Can I go back? Can I somehow go back?
Yeah.
The answer is yes, James, he does it in the British comic books.
Good.
Yeah.
Okay, that is one thought.
Uh-huh.
That his upgrade, he gets bigger in robot form and he turns into a camper van.
That's right.
That's bad.
Mm.
That's not good.
No.
And I know
does that mean that Optimus Prime originally was a real cool guy before he got the Matrix of Leadership?
Well, he was...
No is the answer, James. I know the answer is that, but what if it was?
He was Orion Pax.
I know.
Nerd.
What does he turn into?
It's probably like a block.
Yeah, probably just a block.
Probably a computer or some
yeah,
shit.
Yeah, probably a computer.
Probably a Casio calculator.
Yeah, probably.
Yuck. But anyways, I always had the opinion, I would say even till recently, that Ultra Magnus should have been the leader. Because he's got the look.
Oh, yes.
But here's the thing, watching this again...
He's got the look. Anyway.
Yeah.
He's got a real rock set about him.
He does, doesn't he? Mm. But I've had my mind changed.
Okay.
First of all, he just doesn't have it. You know that thing you need?
The touch.
The touch.
Yeah, he doesn't have the touch.
The riz.
Yeah.
He doesn't have it, Mason.
No, I agree.
That's for the kids, me using that word.
Yeah,
I'm
no,
sorry.
I liked it.
I'm That's sorry. The first test that he has from Optimus, where Optimus is like, you can be the leader, is that he drops the Matrix of Leadership.
That's true.
Listen, mate, if you haven't got fucking hands, no.
Yeah.
You cannot be the leader.
Agreed.
Get in the bin. The other thing is, I know he's like a more developed character now. Like all of them are. Mm. Don't fucking at me with your Transformers lore.
But, okay, I won't. Sorry.
But he is, by design, bargain bin Optimus.
I don't know if I agree with that.
And this is why, though.
Okay.
Because I had my suspicions and this is right. So in the early script, Optimus Prime's death was different. Now, since the Matrix of Leadership had not been thought up at the time.
He died on the robo-toilet.
I shouldn't have had this robo fried peanut butter sandwich.
He died with so much energon in his robo bowel.
Optimus Prime would have handed over his own essence, so a white colored Optimus Prime would emerge from his body to take its place inside Ultra Magnus. And the original Ultra Magnus toy.
It is Optimus Prime.
It's Optimus Prime with some shit like stacked onto it.
That's true, yeah.
So that's my point, Mason. Mm. He's Optimus Prime, but like not. But he doesn't have it, Mason.
No, I agree.
You know what they've gone with here?
Mm-hmm.
They've gone with the MASH effect.
Okay, you're going to have to explain that. I think even more so, I think there are plenty of people here who are familiar with Transformers, but less the Korean War dramedy MASH.
Mason, the finale of MASH is still the highest rated TV event of all time, maybe.
That
all right?
cannot be true.
Yeah, well, right. it is, maybe.
All right.
Or it was for a time.
Now it's The Good Doctor. The Good Doctor finale.
So in MASH, whenever a character would be replaced in the show, either they died or whatever, they would replace them with not just the same guy again, but the opposite. For example, Trapper John McIntyre was a bit of a womanizer and a cad and a ladies' man, and he was replaced with BJ Honeycutt, who was a family man.
Oh, yeah.
Henry Blake, who ran the MASH hospital, the 4077, he was a civilian doctor turned reluctant colonel, right? He didn't even want to be there. He just wanted to fish. Anyway, when he was shot down over the Sea of Japan, they bought, spoiler alert, they bought in career army man Sherman T. Potter. Frank Burns, terrible doctor.
How many more of these do you have?
This is the last one.
Okay.
Frank Burns, terrible doctor, bumbling fool. He was replaced by Charles Emerson Winchester III, played by David Ogden Stiers, big fan. And he was a world-class surgeon who gave Hawkeye...
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Not that one. A run for his money, Mason. I like the idea of picking somebody you wouldn't necessarily expect who has a different kind of vibe.
An unlikely hero.
Exactly. I don't necessarily think that this paid off in the animated show afterwards, also because they ended up going, yeah, Optimus Prime, he's back, and Hot Rod, you can lie down for a minute. But I appreciate that it's not just a carbon copy.
Yes,
is what I'm saying.
Mm.
Anyways, Megatron, him getting rebuilt, that's great.
That's
love
cool
all
as
that.
Yeah.
I don't know whether I agree with the decision to bring in Leonard Nimoy to take over from Frank Welker.
I know
he's a name, and he's got a great voice.
Yeah, he does.
And he comes back in Revenge of the Fallen. He does a voice in that or something. Optimus Prime shoots him in the head in that movie. We've covered them. We looked at all of those movies.
He's a sentient vending machine, and Optimus Prime shoots him in the head.
Yeah. But I like him, though. I prefer the Megatron design, though, I believe. And here's something fun. So Welker had previously provided the voice, screams only, for Spock in Star Trek III, The Search for Spock.
Oh.
And they flipped it.
That's a real Garfield Lorenzo music Bill Murray situation.
It certainly is, Mason. Here's something I didn't know. RC also.
Mm-hmm. The cola.
The cola, yes. The pink lady transformer.
The apple.
The apple, that's right. Mm-hmm. So one of the original demands for the Transformers toy line and cartoon series that there'd be no female Transformers because this was marketed strictly for boys. Mm-hmm. This was boys only.
That's right.
And men.
Boys don't like girls. We all know that.
That's true. However, writer Ron Friedman fought hard to include female robots in the Transformers lore as his daughter was a huge fan of the franchise, and that led to the debut of the first female Transformer in this.
There you go.
So that's fun.
Yeah. And like 20 years later, you can finally get an RC toy.
Right.
Well done, everybody.
We did it.
Yep.
That's us. We did it.
Yeah, and Ronnie Reagan.
And Ronnie Reagan, obviously. Here's some things I noticed and that I liked.
Oh, yes.
Except for one thing that I didn't like.
Whoa. Yeah, is that going to be the end or are you going to make me guess?
I'll put it at the end. Okay. No, I'll make you guess.
Okay, great.
Here we go.
Wink.
Cup and Hot Rod hanging out together. Mm-hmm. That's a great pairing.
I agree.
I'm loving that.
Mm.
An old vet, a veteran.
Mm-hmm.
And then young Hot Rod's
the latest hot model. Yeah, it's good, isn't it?
That's great.
And Cup, you know, he's like, he's always razzing the kid, but he believes in him. And I think that's lovely.
Yeah, it's good to believe in somebody.
Yeah. And, you know, Hot Rod put him back together after he died.
That's a
a very fun. It's interesting that after Optimus Prime is killed in a very dramatic fashion, the rest of the movie is other characters being killed and then just being put back together with like a bit of spit and sticky tape.
Yep.
And then they're fine.
Including Ultra Magnus. Mm. A joke, Mason. He's a joke. I love Soundwave's loyalty to Megatron. I mean, to a point.
Yeah.
He did let him just get like dropped out of the Astro train.
Mm, into space. Yeah.
Yeah, and that's fine. But just how he's just like, he's my mate. I'm going to look after this guy. Yeah. I'm not going to be later. My voice is weird. People make fun of me.
the Constructicon said I had no charisma. That hurt actually a little bit.
I think he's got it. He's got it, Mason.
Would you say he has Riz, though?
I would say more so than Blaster, the Autobot equivalent.
Mm, okay.
It's not as cool. I think.
Yeah.
I love King Starscream.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Got the crown. Mm-hmm. He's looking good. Yeah. He's just like finally, after 2 seasons of telling Megatron every episode that one day I'm going to kill you and I'll be the head of the Decepticons.
Yeah, that's right.
And Megatron's like, I hope not.
Yeah.
He finally gets
his moment. I'm going to definitively kill you. I'm not going to throw you out into space. And there's a chance you'll be revived by some sort of weird robot demigod and you'll come back and get me. I'm going to definitely kill you.
For real.
I'll shoot you in the head before I do that.
Yeah.
Oh, nuts, I forgot.
Anyway, he gets his moment.
Yeah, yeah.
I love it.
And you know what? One of the things I do remember that still holds up is him being absolutely turned to dust by Galvatron. Yeah. Oh, that's a good shot.
Really good stuff.
And then Galvatron almost immediately just falling down the stairs.
Yeah.
Oh, I've got a headache. I'm falling down some stairs.
Maybe, Galvatron, you could turn into the turret that you... What are you doing? He's a handgun, then he's a turret? Uh-huh. How about something mobile, you know?
He is mobile, James.
In a sense. Mm. Because he can walk and fly and
stuff. No, the later versions he has treads.
Later, exactly. Yeah. Treads.
Yeah.
Junk.
It's like a little tank.
Yeah, no, I get it, but like that's junk.
Oh, I see, right? Is this the thing you don't like?
No.
Oh, wow. So it's 2 things you don't like.
I didn't mean to get into that.
You didn't mean to get riled up with Galvatron designs.
I didn't. I love...
Also, he can turn into a handgun sometimes.
Yeah, good for him. Great. Yeah.
I mean, not in this, obviously.
No. That would be silly.
Yeah.
I love the human transformation suit. You put on a person and you're like... Beep,
beep, beep. Does that break all your limbs when you turn into a little car?
Probably.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
But that's fine.
Yeah. How's it work? Because Daniel's all like, transform. And then he's like, oh, I found the button that does that. That'd be easier, I reckon. Maybe a big button, mark transform.
You use your chin and you hit it.
Yeah.
Nice. I like all that. And I've written here, Eric Idle is a very unpleasant character. Which one of these things do I not like, Mason?
I think it's that one.
Yeah,
you don't like his performance as Wreck-Gar.
No, because it's just like Earth commercials. And this is already a commercial, you know?
Right.
Like, if you got Eric Idle, give him something to do, you know? Mm. Not just this kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
Make him, you know, replicate the cheese shop sketch.
Exactly. Mm. Yeah.
Joke's on you. He wasn't in the cheese shop sketch.
Unless
he was. I can't remember.
I hate it when the joke's on me, Mason.
That's right.
I like making jokes about people.
I'm just going to double check. He might have been in the cheese shop sketch. It's John Cleese and somebody else. Maybe it's Palin. It is Palin.
Oh, no.
You fool.
Now, I like the soundtrack in this.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's got Weird Al, for one.
Oh,
that's
my God,
cool.
It really does.
This version of the Transformers theme song.
By Lion.
Incredible, obviously.
Yeah.
One of the best. You got the touch.
Yeah. Is it the fact that they reuse? Is that your issue?
Like during it?
Yeah.
It's unrelenting.
It is unrelenting.
It's like you need to like have a moment where maybe there isn't music. Just like a few seconds every now and then.
Yeah, sure.
But it's But look, that's a minor complaint. But I feel like it makes the whole thing feel like hectic and busy when maybe it doesn't need to be all of the time.
Yeah, but see, this was the TikTok of its time.
That's true.
Kids were loving this. You got to keep their attention.
Yeah, no, you're right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Here's something that will keep your attention, Mason.
Go on.
When they said shit in this movie. did the version you see have...
Yes.
Wow.
Yes, it did.
Did your parents turn to you and just slap you, give you a cuff across the ear?
Yeah, but it was unrelated. It was just time for that. They checked their watch and they delivered a slap. Just kidding. My parents are delightful.
So, so this was infamous for having the line, oh shit, what are we going to do?
Yeah.
This was removed from all home releases until the year 2000. Yeah, so that's fun and good.
Because they were afraid of Y2K.
Yeah, exactly.
And then once the 2000 clocked over, they're like, phew, okay, we can
be rude again.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Anyways, Mason, it's time for green trivia. And also, it's Rodney's retirement, everybody.
Oh, yeah.
I think this joke has run its course. And maybe he'll return. And I understand people will call for it. But every now and then, you have to just let something go, you know? And if it's beautiful and wonderful, it'll come back to you maybe. Or we'll forget. Right.
We'll probably forget. In fact, that's absolutely the thing we'll do.
Yeah. But he'll always be with us.
Yeah.
So let's roll it one more time. I miss him.
Yeah, me too. I mean, he got stabbed really hard through the chest with that spike or whatever.
He did, didn't he?
Yeah. So, I mean, he's been dead for a long time.
Yes. So Orson Welles was quite sick at the time of recording, and a lot of his dialogue was labored and unusable. Making his voice robotic, Mason.
Oh, yes.
That helped bring it together.
That's terrific.
In the end, yeah.
Mm. Do you know what he says at the end? What's Unicron say?
I'm falling over.
Yeah, no, he does say that.
In the recording booth, I've fallen over. Yeah, no, I don't know.
No, I never knew. And then I rewatched it recently. And I'm like, I still...
So I don't know. Oh, well, we'll never know. Yeah. When asked about his role, though, he said, you know what I did this morning? I played the voice of a toy. I play a planet. I menace somebody called something or other. Then I'm destroyed. My plan to destroy whoever it is thwarted, and I tear myself apart on the screen. Now, apparently, though, when he was cast, he expressed admiration and excitement for animation as a format. So,
there you go.
You know, he was dying. So maybe that's
probably,
why he was grumpy.
Yeah.
So Spark Plug Witwicky is not in this.
So that's Spike's dad and Daniel's grandfather, yes.
Correct. Now he's in the anime.
Nor is Spike's wife.
Yeah.
Or whoever, whatever partner he raised Daniel with or didn't. Where's she or them or him in the future of 2005?
Great question.
Where are they? What's going on there?
Very good question.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a clone. The kid's a clone, right? They look the same.
Oh.
I assume.
Oh, you think?
I don't know. Or care. Right. Okay. But here's the thing.
But you care about Spark Plug.
Well, yes.
All right.
Because Spark Plug never returns.
Whoa.
But in one continuity.
Not even in the sequel, Spark Plug Never Returns.
Mm.
The episode where he just doesn't come back.
He's not in that one.
And at the end, they're like, we told you. It's in the title of the episode.
Look at the cast list.
It's not in it.
Nobody voiced a damn thing.
Yeah.
But the thing is, in the Dreamwave comics continuity, he was killed in 1999 when the second Autobot arc exploded.
Oh, no.
I don't know who was on that. I mean, this guy, obviously.
Yeah. Oh, no, it's Y2K, he said.
One potential plot proposed by writer and story editor Flint Dilley and creative director Jay Backel would have involved Optimus Prime embarking on a journey to discover the origins of the Transformers race.
Oh.
Which we sort of got in one of the Bay movies.
Yeah, and we did get it in the comics and the cartoons as well.
Yeah.
You know the Quintessons? I think in the cartoon continuity, they created the Transformers.
Cool.
But in other continuities, it was something else.
It was somebody else or something.
Some bloke in a garage.
Great.
It was Wahlberg.
I doubt it.
He went back in time and he did it.
So they find out that their home planet is actually a giant robot itself, and using the Matrix, the planet Cybertron would have transformed into a robot to face off against the evil Transformer planet Unicron.
Whoa.
A pawn of the Quintessons. I'm sure that's happened before, like Cybertron transforms into something, I assume.
Yeah, so also in the American comic books, the origin of Unicron and his nemesis Primus.
Yeah.
Not the band.
No.
They started at the beginning of the universe, and they were in like a different plane of existence. And then Primus tricks Unicron into, like, putting his spirit into an asteroid. And then the asteroid turns into Unicron, and Primus turns into Cybertron.
Damn.
And so, but Unicron, Primus is like, well, I'll create a race of sentient robots, and they'll be able to live on this planet. And Unicron's like, well, I'll become a real big dude. What do you think about that? I'll be bigger.
That's pretty good. They're both pretty good options, I
think.
I feel
so, yeah.
Yeah. So the band who sings the song on the soundtrack called Nothing's Gonna Stand in Our Way and Hunger is listed as Spectre General, but the band's name is actually Kickaxe. So when the soundtrack was being assembled, they thought the name Kickaxe sounded too threatening, so they listed them as Spectre General, but the band was not notified of this change.
I see.
So that's fun.
Yeah.
People might want to know, where does Optimus Prime's trailer go, and when it, where does it go and come back from when he transforms?
Another dimension?
Maybe.
Or it just rolls around a corner.
Yeah, rolls around a corner.
Yeah.
He's also got, people have theorized they got that little, he's got that little buggy in the back and that
roller.
Like, yeah, drags it off and brings it back.
Okay, you reckon? Like a little valet.
Yeah, like a little valet.
Okay, right.
Yeah. And the last bit of green trivia is that Shockwave is actually in two movies from 1986. This movie and the movie Aliens. The toy of him is a spray-painted silver and half-transformed. He's some kind of medical tool.
Oh, I didn't know that.
In a medical bay.
Okay.
And I went, that's great.
That is great.
And I told everybody.
Oh, yeah.
Which is what I'm doing now.
That's great.
Anyway, box office for this.
Not good.
Bad.
Oh, very bad.
Really bad. So on a budget of $5.6 million, the box office return was $5.8 million. And that's only in the U.S. And it was sort of released in other regions, but not, it didn't get like a full rollout, if you will, all around the world. It was the 99th biggest film of the year.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Hasbro, between this and the My Little Pony movie, lost $10 million in 1986 on these absolute follies. Mason.
Yeah,
but since then, obviously, it's become somewhat of a cult classic.
Yes.
And it has made its money back and then some with re-releases on VHS and Laserdisc and DVDs and YouTube reviews. All of these things benefit this movie.
Yeah, yeah.
Which all in all, I didn't think I was going to like it that much, but there's a lot of fun in this, Mason.
I think there's a lot of charm to it, yeah.
Yeah. Mm. It's cool.
It is cool.
It's got Riz, Mason.
It's got Riz.
You don't think so?
No, I don't think it's got
Let
Riz.
Let us know below if it's got Riz.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And while you're down there, you might be in the description.
Mm-hmm.
That's a great place to poke around in because there's actually a link to bigsandwich.co.
That's right.
Where our videos, Caravan of Garbage videos, always go up there early, including next week's series that we're starting.
Oh, what's that?
It's Indiana Jones, Mason.
Aye.
The three Indiana Jones movies, there's only three. Hey, Mason, do you want to watch the Indiana Jones trilogy?
Yeah, Temple of Doom, Last Crusade. And Crystal Skull.
Yes.
The three.
Do you want to watch those movies?
Yeah, let's watch those three.
Great. But also, if you do want to sign up there, there's bonus podcasts, there's movie commentaries.
That's right.
There's Let's Plays. All of that stuff is exclusive. We've also got an episode on the latest Transformers movies. Look at all these critters running about, whatever it's called.
Mm.
Beastmen.
That's right.
Transformers Beastmen.
Yeah. Beastly Boys.
Beastly Boys. If you do want to check it out, thank you to Ben and Lawrence for the edit, and let's all go home.
Okay. Can I go?
I live here. You need to leave.
Oh, man. Oh, well, grab that jam, you guys. We'll see you next week.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.